Alright, so we're holding in the Memarim, Perek Ches, the last paragraph of Os Yudalid. So, what we saw last week was Rabbi Yaakov Moshe makes a distinction between the punishment of losing one's Bechira regarding Jewish people and non-Jews. And he says that when it comes to a Jewish person, their Bechira, even when it is lost, it's lost in a way that it's not, that there's still the potential to do tshuva. And basically the way he describes it is that there's a special assistance, there's a special baskol inside of every Yid that is like really helping, assisting a person to come closer to Hashem. That little inner voice in every Jew that is pushing him towards Hashem. And what happens is that assistance, that push to do tshuva can be lost as a punishment. The assistance to do tshuva is removed from him, and that's the removal of Bechira that happens by a Jewish person as a punishment. But nevertheless, if he himself will somehow garner up that strength and get himself, you know, excited for however that happens, or something, I don't know, it could be meets the right person, you know, gets him really excited about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, whatever it is, he still can push himself through and do tshuva. And that's the story with Acher, is that even though the Baskol came out and it said tshuvu banim shoivim chutz, right, levad me'acher, except for Acher, so even still we find that he could have done tshuva. And this, he says, stems from the fact that the halacha is like Reb Meir, that bein kach u bein kach kruyim banim. Even when a Jew sins, no matter how badly they sin, they are still called children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, we're never fully cut off from Hashem. There's always that ability to come back. And as I said, that it's not, you know, even though he doesn't quote the Mabit, we find the Mabit makes this distinction, this difference between the Yisrael and the Amim. He says that the only difference maybe is that Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap seems to be saying it even using the Rambam's Shita. In other words, he's accepting the Rambam's Shita that there's a removal of Bechira even by a Yid, but he's reframing it somewhat and saying that it's not the same typical removal of Bechira that we find by a guy. There's a slight difference, which is a very major qualitative difference, is that the Bechira is not fully lost, but rather the help, Mishamayim, the Siyata, the Shemayim to do tshuva, is lost, which makes it virtually impossible, because we said, like he brought the Chazal, right, that without Hashem's help, right, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, no one can really do tshuva, the Koyach of the Yetzer Hara is so powerful. But nevertheless, that possibility still exists by Israel. So that's a recap on what we saw last week. So it says in the last paragraph, the Yismach Yisrael begoyrel kocham zeh, and the Israel, right, the Jewish people have to be happy with this holy lot of theirs. Even after all the descents and the sinking down into the terrible mud, right, into like the sick mud, they get into a terrible low. Al lamolit ya'esh v'lomar ki minu'ah mehem hatshuva ve'elem od shuva chas v'shalom. They should never ever give up hope and think or say that tshuva is withheld from them and there is no cure for them, chas v'shalom. Ki lo kishar ha'amim chelkam, because their lot is not like the lot of other nations. Ve'im etzo shar ha'amim, mini'at ha'tshuva hi mini'a be'echlet. And if by other nations the prevention of tshuva is an absolute prevention, u'ma'amidim lahem ikuvim shelo yeshuva b'tshuva, and they place before him different hindrances, different things that are going to hinder them from doing tshuva, prevent them from doing tshuva, like we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away the bechira because he doesn't want them to do tshuva, so they're going to die within their state of chet. But by the Jewish people, again, it's only in such a way where they're not given positive assistance. So no stumbling blocks are put before them, but the siyata d'shmaya that's usually necessary to do tshuva is removed. And even that, af imonim otami b'chutz, now Rabbi Yaakov Moshe adds a new thing. Even if they are prevented, even if they're prevented from doing tshuva externally, dochafim otam mibefnim, they are being pushed from within. Ki lo yachpot b'mos hameis ki im b'shuvo midracha v'choyo. Right, the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't desire the person to die, rather that he should repent from his ways and live. V'zeh nema b'Yisrael, and that pasuk is said by the Jewish people. Shashchina mamtenet u'mitzapa matay yashuv, because the Shechina is waiting and looking forward to when is the person going to do tshuva. V'shalosh pa'amim b'chol yom v'yoyim, and three times every single day, bas kol menahemis kayoyno v'yomeres, bas kol calls out like a dove, saying, oy lebanim shiba'avanotehem ichravti et besi v'sarafti esechali. Right, woe is to the children whose, because of their sins, I had to destroy my house and I burnt my heichal, v'glesim lebein ha'umot, and I exiled them among the nations. V'lozu bilvad. So in other words, right, we see these are all based on different chazalim, that chazal always is showing us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly yearning for his children to come back to him. V'lozu bilvad. And not only that, when Jews are coming back, they're going into, I'm sorry, entering into shuls, into batei midrashos, right? They say, Yehei Shmei Rabo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu menanea b'roishoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'viyochol shakes his head in agreement, and he says, Ashrei HaMelech shemekalsin oto bebeito kach. Fortunate is the king who they praise him in his house in such a way. Malo le'av shehigla et banav v'oy lehem lebanim shegalu me'al shulchan aviyem. And woe is to the father who exiled his children, and to the children who were exiled from the table of their father. Harei shegam, that's the Gemara Brachas. Harei shegam b'yotam b'chetam. So you see from all these different sources that even when they sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu megageh alehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yearning for his children. V'agaguim v'kisufim ha'elu, and these yearnings, yefshar shelo yakushoresh belev habanim, it is impossible that they don't strike a chord, strike the root in the heart of the children, sheyeshuvu el Hashem b'tshuva me'ahava, that they should repent and come back to Hashem with tshuva me'ahava, out of love, v'shegam hema yichsefu, and that they too, right, the Jewish people, the Jews themselves, should yearn for Hashem, v'gam tichle nafsham el Hashem aviyem shebashemayim, and that their nefesh will mamish be completely yearning to Hashem, their Father in heaven. V'aleim ne'emar, and about them it is said, ki shemesh umagen Hashem Elokim, that Hashem Elokim is like the sun and like a shield for them. Chen v'chavod yiten Hashem, charm and honor Hashem gives. Lo yimnatov lo olchim betamim, and he doesn't hold back good from those who go in a whole way, in a way of wholeness. Tzidkoscha kahare keil, your justice is like, or your tzidkos, right, is like the great mountains. Mishpatecha tahom rabba, your mishpatim are go very deep. Adam ubehema toshia Hashem, and Hashem will help the Adam and the behema. Probably meaning that also the person who's acted like a behem, you know, and is a sinner, Hashem is interested in saving him as well. So, basically, what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying is that our, you know, beautiful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it as such that there's just no way that deep down the Jew's not feeling that love of Hashem. The love of Hashem is calling out, right? These Chazals are saying that the love of Hashem is calling out all the time. You know, three times a day, there's a bas call that goes out, and then there's other things where every time the Jewish people go in and say into shul and say Ishmei Rabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets so excited and says, "Wow, you know, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky to have these people." And so this relationship of love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people is so strong that there's no way that the ability of tshuva is completely cut off from a yid. Impossible. So there's always hope. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is ending off of here, right? There's always hope. Even after the Rambam's punishment, what he's megalot to us, what he reveals to us, that there's such a thing as punishment of losing one's bechira. No, by a yid, that's true. He can lose the siyata d'shmaya, but it's not the same way like by others, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put stumbling blocks in front of him from doing tshuva and hold him back from tshuva. By yid, Hashem is not going to stop him, and not only is not going to stop him, but any taking away of siyata d'shmaya is somewhat on a more superficial level, even within the Jew. This is an interesting thing because he's really splitting up the nefesh, if you pay attention over here, because the siyata d'shmaya that he spoke about, that we spoke about last week, right, which is also focused on a bas kol. He was saying that there's a bas kol, which is always calling shuvu banim shayvim, is calling for us to do tshuva. And he said, sorry about this, I forgot to take this phone out. Hold on. Let me take it out of the room. So, even though that bas kol is like holding him back in a certain sense, is not calling out to him to do tshuva. So that what it comes out from this last paragraph is that that's on the more external levels of his nefesh, but on the innermost levels of his nefesh, he's still going to be sensing something. He's going to still be sensing that ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always showering upon us and yearning for us to come back, that's going to remain. So there's actually a push. That's the way he says it. Mibefnim. They're doichafim otam mibefnim. They're still being pushed from inside. It's a very interesting thing. There are a number of stories. We know him. You know, some of them are more famous, some of them less. But some of the most anti-religious people who, you know, like, might have done, and did do terrible, terrible averus, lived terrible lifestyles, and really lived with tremendous hate, somehow, at some point, ended up doing tshuva, and becoming Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. You see, every once in a while, we get to see this kind of a thing, where people that, it seems like they have no bechira at that point, it seems like they're so, so detached, that they're really completely detached from Hashem, something somewhere somehow clicks in them that brings them back. And that's really a very important message, because there is a lot of feeling of yiyush. You know, we don't have to go to the non-religious people. There are a lot of people that grew up from that feel detached today. I think that's a problem that might even be, you know, I don't know, we can't really measure what's the worst, what's a bigger problem or a smaller problem. But today there are people that have gone through yeshiva systems, and the people that might even have gone through mesechtes and learned or whatever, but they feel completely detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there are other people that never properly learned, even though they went through cheder and they went through the system, so to say, but they just never connected, and they might even have had bad feelings. So it's very often they land up on the streets as youths, and they want to come back at some point, usually because somebody's given them some attention and some positive attention, and has been zeichet to be the shliach of Hashem to get them to want to come back. And there's the climb back, the difficulty to come back, and it can be very difficult because they don't know how to move, they don't know how to. I actually just spoke to someone very recently. It's in this situation where he was on the streets for most of his youth, and now he's married with a kid. And he said, told me that he very much would love to learn, but every time he sits down to learn, his mind goes everywhere else, including things of the past, and he's just not able to. And he told me this with tears in his eyes. What do I do? And the first thing to just be aware of, and the first thing to know is that there's a way. There's a way because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to come closer to Him, and He will make Himself available. We do have to do the Hishtadlus, though, to find that, you know, to find the way. And each person's Hishtadlus might be somewhat different. You know, each person has, obviously, each person's Hishtadlus is different. But the main thing is, if we know that there's going to be a way, we know that there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, we know we're going to be successful, we don't give up. That's the important thing. Okay, we'll start now. Ois Tesvav, he continues weiter in this subject. So he says, Af Gam, yeah. Yes.
There's a Chazal of, like you say, Yerach, Bekedech, Hazgo, Bekedecha, and it says that Yitzhak smelled the clothes.
Oh, Reach Begadav, yeah.
So the Gemara says,
Boigdav.
Even the Bogdim.
Even the Boigdim,
have a sweet smell.
Right.
Like that same idea.
Yeah. And if you remember, we spoke about these, you know, we did a whole series of shiurim back at some point on the shita of Rav Kook and Rav Yaakov Moshe's explanation of Rav Kook's shita on being makar of people and how to view Poishe Yisrael, you know, the sinners of Israel. And that was really, we got to a point where we saw that a lot of, you know, some of it was coming directly from what we read, and some of it I added from other places, but usually, even the mistakes, and even the averus, are coming from some kind of unsettled push inside the person that's really looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because he doesn't know how to find it, it ends up being put into chet. It ends up, you know, I give you, use a mashal, I don't remember if we used it in the past, but what happens when a person is depressed? Very often people just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat in order to try to eat the depression out of them. And what's that? It's that the food makes them feel good. But of course, that's not solving the problem. It's their attempt to deal with the depression, but it's a very, very misguided attempt, which actually ends up just deepening their depression because they get fatter, they get more unhealthy, and together with that, the matzav ruach, right? The mood of a person gets worse and worse. Overeating and all that kind of stuff brings people into worse mood. So it ends up they dig their hole even further and further. And that's, I think, a very good mashal for what happens with the yid and when he does averus and when he gives into his taivas. He's really looking for the nitzot elokhi, for the godly spark that's within that taiva, like we spoke about in the past. All pleasure is really godly at its base, but some of that, those godly pleasures, are wrapped up. They're asurim. They're tied. They're bound within the klipa, and they're unavailable. It's usher to go anywhere near them because if you go near them, you get zapped, and you don't ever get the real godliness of it. You just get pushed into the klipa, pushed into the darkness even more. It makes you feel even worse. So it's the misguided overeating of depression. That's what averus are. That's what and people get worse and worse into it. But ultimately it's a ruach shtus. It's a ruach shtus. It's just a terrible miscalculation. So yeah, we have to. You know, it's not just no gear for others. It's no gear for all of us. And if a person has a yetzahara for something, or a person has a bad, bad habit of something, whatever it is. So if we remember that deep down, the only things pushing us are our kisufim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That can transform the way we go about our decision-making process of whether we give in to something or not. I heard actually that, you know, the Gemara says, I remembered I wanted to add this in when we were talking about the Poishim Shavu Yisrael. So I can't remember. I heard a story not so long ago that somebody came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I forget it was a chassid of some other Rebbe. I don't remember who it was. And somehow there was a conversation that came up, or maybe it was a Chabad chassid that came to a different Rebbe. I don't remember exactly the story. But basically the Rebbe was focused on the fact that even the Poshim Shabbi Yisrael are Malayan mitzvah. Like he said, this guy's Rebbe, not the Lubavitcher, this guy's Rebbe, this chassid's Rebbe said that he was like nesoil, how he was really just amazed thinking about that, how even the poishim, even the worst sinners of the Jewish people, can the Gemara says are filled with pits, like, you know, seeds like the pomerant, right? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe's response was, or this chassid said in the name of his Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I don't remember the details of the story, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was more shocked. How could the Gemara call them Poshe Yisrael? Like he was like switching the angle of it. How these beautiful Jews that have so many mitzvahs, how could you call them sinners? That was like the take. It's a cute idea. But in the Pnimius HaDvarim, it's very true. We've said in the past, I mean, there's a Gemara that's makes a machlekas of this, and I was miyash with the Gemara in the past, so I'm not going into that. But Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says on the pasuk, "Va'atem advekim b'Hashem alekeichem chaim kulchem hayoyim." Right, you're all dovek, you're clinging to Hashem alekeichem all the days of your life. Right, so he says that Rashi over there brings down, it's a Chazal, that it's like by the pasuk by nitzmadim al devar pa'ar. That they're nitzmadim, they attach themselves to the avodah zarah of pa'or, which was a disgusting avodah zarah. So the Rashi says kitzamid al yaday isha or al yad isha, like a bracelet on the hand of a woman. So says Rav Yaakov Moshe that when a Jew does avodah zarah, when a Jew is even very much attached to pa'or, the it's always only like a bracelet on their hand, as opposed to their attachment with Hashem. Vatem advekim Hashem alekeichem, they're stuck to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're completely cleaving and clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a whole different thing. He says that because the dvekis Hashem alekeichem is internal, is in the pnimius, as opposed to the attachment to Avodah Zarah that's always superficial by a yid. It's always a superficial, like kitzamid, like a bracelet on the hand, which of course you could take off and your hand is still there, you're still, no, you didn't lose anything. Okay, so we'll begin the next paragraph. So he says, Af gam zois, ois tesvav. Af gam zois, more so. Okay, he's continuing to show the difference between us and Shar Ha'amim, the other nations. Eina doime klal tshuvasim shel ha'amim tshuvasim shel Yisrael. The whole tshuva of the Yidden is completely different. It's not the same. The tshuva of the nations to the tshuva of the Jewish people. Now he uses the lamdus that we find in the Gemara to describe what's the difference. Tshuvasim shelo amim, the tshuva of the nations, eina ele bebchinas hafaras bal demegas gayas. Utshuvasim shel Yisrael bebchinas chacham oikar aneder miyikaroi. Right? The Gemara tells us that there's a difference between hataras nedarim, which is done by the chacham, and the hafaras nedarim, which is done by the husband for a woman. There's a very mahuti difference between the two, right? There's a crucial difference between the mechanics of the two. The hafaras nedarim, when the husband breaks the neder of the wife, it's a break. It's a break. It's a hafara, which means, the Gemara says, megas gayas, it cuts off the neder. It just cuts it. But the chacham, when he does Hataras Nedarim, he's being matir it. He's kiviyachol untying it, which means he's removing the neder from the source. He's uprooting it as if it's never, as if it was never there. Okay, so it's retroactively there is no neder. There was no neder. It's very different than the Baal, the Hafaras Nedarim. So the Hafaras Nedarim of the Baal is not that the neder didn't take place and didn't begin, but he breaks it now. He's Megas guys, he chops it and he stops it. This is not just stopping the Hataras Nedarim of the Chacham is not just stopping the neder, but it's uprooting it from its very beginning. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, when the nations do tshuva, when the goyim do tshuva, the pshat, the lamdus, the mechanics of their tshuva is like the hafaras bal, is that it's megas gayas, if they're cutting off, they're cutting themselves off from their past, so to say, right, and beginning fresh, as opposed to the tshuva of a yid is in the bechina of a chacham that's uprooting it from its very beginning. Even if the Jewish person is just doing tshuva out of fear of God, even still, it's still in that bechina of uprooting it from the beginning. Because that is what is required from a Jew when he does tshuva. Sheyenachemu al maasehem, that they have charata, that they regret their actions. V'lo rak she'azvu maasehem, not just that they leave their actions, leave their averus. Right? We know that that's part of the requirements besides Kabbalah al haba, or besides aziva sechet and Kabbalah al haba, right? You also have to have charata. That's an absolute requirement of tshuva, is to regret the past. But that's only by a Jewish person's tshuva. V'hud b'Yisrael, that's what he says, by a Jewish person, ikur migidrei tshuva, part of the requirements of tshuva, shel haTorah, of the Torah, is shi'echarata alavar v'gam kabbalah alahaba, that there should be both regret on the past as well as accepting upon yourself in the future not to do such an avera. V'lama tzrichim shneim, why do you need both? U'madu alu daya kabbalah la'abal avad, why isn't it just enough to be makabel on yourself to live properly from now on and not to do those chatoim anymore? Why do you also need this ikur of being mischaret, of regretting the past? Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, ki yisoid ha-tshuva shel ha-Torah, because the yisoid of tshuva of the Torah is that the tshuva should also uproot retroactively whatever was done. As opposed to by other nations, even though they have to do tshuva, they're also required to do tshuva if they sin. It is enough in just them not continuing to sin from now on, ki ben kach uben kach en betshuvatam mazor al hakodem, because one way or another their tshuva is not going to be a cure on what happened before. Ve'ein lemakira meikaro, and they don't have that ability. It doesn't. Their tshuva never can uproot what was done. V'lachein kol tshuvatam irak meiris ha'oinesh. The Meili says all their tshuva is always only out of fear of punishment. There never is going to be a picture by them of tshuva that is coming from a higher tshuva, anything higher than that of just tshuva from onesh, of punishment. And the inyan is, because by the goyim there is no past. What's already past is no longer. It's in the past. It's not in existence. V'kalkalatam zu higam takanatam. And that chisaron, that lacking, so to say, is also their tikkun, is also their, you know, rectification. Sheyesh b'koach echad mehamonam litgayel. It is that fact that their past is past and is not in existence currently that allows them, gives them the koach, that if any of them want to convert, Right? What happens when a guy converts? So the Gemara says that they're kikatan shenayla. They're like a young child that was just born. Ki eina var po'el alehem. Because their past doesn't work on them. It doesn't affect them at all. Look, so therefore, now they can convert. Because when they convert, they can just become like a newborn baby. Their life just started now. Lo kein be Yisrael. That's not true by a Jewish person. Sha'af al pi shechata, because even though he sinned, Yisraelu, he's still a Jew. He's still a Yid. Mipnei sheyesh lem gam avar, because they also have a past. Meaning they also have a past which stays connected and is breathing into the future, into the present and the future as well. Ve'avar eino over min olam. Their past didn't leave the world. It's still here. Ukvar he'ir mizer rabin or maral zichus yogin alin b'sfarav. The maral already is mayor on this in his svarim. On this is very, very fundamental difference between the past of a Jew and the past of a goy. Umizeh atam. And it is for this reason. Lo matzinu b'bnei noyach gidrei tshuva. That we don't find any gidrei tshuva by a guy. We don't find any specific requirements of tshuva, like what's the gdorim of tshuva, what are the necessity, the necessary points for them of how to do tshuva. Af bidvarim shemuzarim aleim, even on things that they are warned about. Kemo gidrei tshuva, we don't find that, like we do find gidrei tshuva shechayovim b'em Yisrael al-pi ha-Torah, that the Jews are obligated by the Torah. Ki Yisrael tzrichim etaken gam et ha-avar. Because the Jews have to fix up also the past. The past is still here, and you have to fix up the past as well. U'biyadam letakno, and the Jews have that ability to rectify the past. U'ben Noach eino mitaken et avar, as opposed to Ben Noach, he doesn't have the ability to fix up the past. That's I've said in the past. That's also behind the idea. When a Jew does tshuva, right? So the Gemara says, when a Yid does tshuva me'ahava, here he's talking about even yira, but when a Jew does tshuva me'ahava, it becomes nas like his chuyos, it becomes like merits. That's like unbelievable. Like the guy did an avera, and now he goes up to Shemayim, and they give him a mitzvah. So we said that ultimately, deep down, when you strip down the Avera to its essential pull, like we said before, all that's there is the Nitzotz HaKedusha, is that spark of holiness which was attracting the Jew to that thing. Right? This is what the Baal Shem Tov says in Savos HaRivash, that when you do tshuva, you're getting down to that spark of Kedusha that was there in the beginning, and now you're elevating it through tshuva. You weren't allowed to partake in that spark. You were supposed to stay away from it. Actually, staying away from it would have elevated it. That's the truth. But the Sfarim say that. But the guy went ahead and did it. He ate it, and that was an avera. He had anah from this nitzitz in a way that was completely aser, and it brought him down. It brought him away from Hashem. But now that he does tshuva me'ava. So he was brought to a tremendous kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, through that Avera, he ended up getting this hana of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tshuva. So that retroactively, that partaking in this nitzitz of Kedusha is now mitzvah. The tshuva literally, retroactively, completely changes it into a mitzvah. And again, but the point is, how can it do that? It can only do that because the past is still here with us. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying, is that by a guy, their life is completely linear. So that there is no connection now with the present to the past. It's completely linear existence. And every moment is a moment in of its own right that is no longer connected to the past. Whereas a Yid, we have a holistic existence. So we're always connected to all the parts of our past, and we can always change them through doing tshuva. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal difference. As Rabbi Yaakov Moshe said before, I guess on this we would say it too. The Yismach Yisrael Begaru Kachem Zeh. We have to have tremendous simcha in knowing that. Okay, any questions? Haaretz? We'll stop here for tonight.
What a- just clarify. It sounds like it might even be that a goy has no mitzvah tshuva altogether. Even
no, absolutely not.
He said. Even in regards to the future, is it a fulfillment of the mitzvah tshuva, or
yes.
Is it merely starting to observe the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach?
No, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe called it tshuva, and it is tshuva. We find in the right that's what Yonah was sent. Yonah was sent to demand of them in Ninveh to do tshuva. Vadai, of course, they have a din of tshuva, they have a chiyuv of tshuva. They have to repent. But their tshuva only affects the future, is that they have to take upon themselves to stop doing the avera and start acting right. But to fix the past, it's not theirs anymore. It's not there anymore. If you want to, you know, the Maral makes this point in a specific way. Yispardu kol poyalei oven. That all the sinners separate. And he says that the goyim are in the bechina of Perud. They're in the bechina of Mikra. The Maral says this a lot. That they're in the bechina of like something which just happens by chance, so to say. It's a bechina of separation, of fragmentation. So that they're not... that's their whole bechina. Our whole bechina is goy echad ba'aretz. Our whole bechina is we wave the flag of Hashem Echad, of the oneness of Hashem. Through and through, we are a people of unity. We are a people of oneness of Hashem. And therefore, temporally speaking, time-wise, that is also our existence. Our existence is Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishaker, is the everlastingness, the infinite existence of Yisrael. That's part of the oneness. There's no chopping it up. As opposed to the goyim, whose whole existence only is a byproduct of the sin of the Eitz Hadas, says in the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Maramchal, right, that they only came in because Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. What was the Eitz Hadas? Eitz Hadas Tovara was bringing down the world into a world of fragmentation, difference between good and bad, a world of fragmentation. And that's where they come. So their whole Bechina only starts. It's mushrish in Perud. It's completely rooted in fragmentation. And therefore, temporally speaking, their existence in time is also one of separation. Minute, minute. But that's it. Or moment, moment. And that's it. No connection between the dots, so to say. So it's a very... We in a certain sense, we really live in a different dimension of time than the guy. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Israel.
Yes.
It's a little bit hard to hear emotionally that if a goy wants to do tshuva, he doesn't regret his past actions.
How
can he not have regret?
How could he not have regret? It's not that he doesn't...
Well, if somebody wants to improve himself, he has regret for what he did. No?
He may have regret, but... It's not one of his chiyuvim. He's not obligated. He could do tshuva even without the regret. You might be right that very often they may do tshuva with regret as well. But it is possible to do tshuva without regret, technically speaking. Technically speaking, you know, okay, I had my fun, I had my good years, and I enjoyed them, and I would do it again. But now it's time. Now I'm grown up, and now it's time already to raise a family and live, you know, and I would be faithful to my wife. You don't necessarily have to regret the past for that. There is a possibility, and for a guy that's enough. Okay, Shavua Tov to everyone. Okay. Who is